Glad to be back home. Even though it's not my home, it's hard not to feel that way. But I will tell you, I know why y'all take turns speaking. This is the hardest congregation to do a sermon at. I mean, I'm not just saying this to y'all. I tell everybody how I think y'all got it. More than any place I've ever been, I think this is a lot how it's going to be when we get to heaven. Echo Hills has it. So it's hard to find something to talk about when you are speaking in front of a group of people that have it. But I guess I'll just speak something that's been on my heart. First of all, and this is not a sermon, this is just a little side thing here. Y'all that don't believe in miracles, I seen three last week, or maybe two. One, Georgia prayed for, but to prove God likes Tennessee better, a few seconds later, the real miracle happened. And I see at least one of us that's going to have to come up in front of the invitation tonight with a logo on his shirt. I hope he knows I'm picking at him. God really don't care about a football game. But the one thing I seen Friday, or it might have been Saturday morning, I know proves miracles still exist. I was going through Facebook looking at pictures, and there was Big Earn with a smile on his face. Miraculous. Miraculous. He must have felt that one coming. I know he's not my son, but you know, I've tried to steal him. He won't ever move away from home. I've heard him try to get Judy and Rich to move away from home, but he won't ever move away from home. But I claim him as my son. I stole him fair and square. And it's always nice to have your son do something before you come up here. Makes your head swell up a little bit. I think the best thing I got from Free Hardman is a friend in Jim. If there's a greater man on this earth, I'm yet to meet him. And I'm thankful for them. And I want to say this before I start, before I take a chance in offending somebody. I love my country. I think it's the greatest country on earth. Do we have problems? Yeah, we have problems. Do we have big problems? Yeah, we have big problems. But still, it's my country. I read Paul's writing, and I see even though Rome had problems, had serious problems, I kind of see some pride in his citizenship sometimes when I read his letters. And that's okay. But never should it separate us from the rest of God's people. Because, you know, I'm an 80s kid. So I'm going to say the biggest enemy that America's had in my time, Russia. You know, there's Russians this morning gathered to worship God. That means the biggest nation of all, God's nation. We have to remember that and put our nation secondary. And if there's, I wouldn't expect, and again, I'm just using them for example. I love them. I wouldn't expect a Russian to put his hand over his heart or hers and stand up when national anthem was played. And I hope they expect the same of me, that I wouldn't stand at theirs. But sometimes we let nationality get in the way and separates us. With that being said, and I'm going to have to use this, and I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't go dead before I'm done, but there's just three pictures. There's a common picture we've seen today, and I'm going to show it, but I know everybody's seen it. Anybody tired of seeing this picture? Can y'all see it? Y'all tired of seeing this picture? Still see it? Anybody know what it is? Seem good enough? What is it? Dave, what's going on here? To sit down with the national anthem's play. And again, I don't know their standing. I don't know if they're Christian or not, but that don't change the fact that they could be Christian. American nation has nothing to do with God's nation. Although you can be an American citizen and love your nation and still be a Christian. On the other hand, you can hate America and still be a Christian, as far as, you know, not hating people. But I don't know if y'all noticed there, right there in front, and I picked this picture out for this purpose. There's something I can say that might offend somebody if someone else see it. There's a jarhead standing right in front of that, and he's standing. Anybody know what a jarhead is? We got any Marines in here? Only a Marine or somebody kin to Marine can say jarhead without offending them. See, I grew up, I had never been in the military, any branch. And I appreciate anybody that served this nation. So don't think I'm centering anybody out this morning. But I grew up in a house where my dad was a Marine. We said a little bit this morning, and I had to shut up because I was wanting to get started. Dana said, your daddy would have never got out of Marines if it wasn't for your mother, would he? You said he would have retired. He would have stayed in there until he died. And see, what I know now and didn't know then in full, me and my dad always bumped heads, by the way. Jim didn't know. But later on, and once you get that trend, it's hard to break. But as I got grown and had my own kids, Mama told me a little bit of what went on. My grandmother and grandfather, my grandfather was a sharecropper. My dad was 9 of 10 kids. So by the time he come along, she didn't really want any more kids. Well, if you want to get to know detail, they were sharecroppers. They wasn't having kids, they were having employees. By the time he come along, they really didn't need any more employees. I guess the 8 was enough. So he really never had a home. So in his defense, maybe he never knew how to have a family. But to get off that, there's one thing I knew about my father. He loved the Marines. I only served a few years. My mom hated base life and talked him into leaving when she got pregnant with me. Although he spent a few years in the National Guard, I can remember him coming home one day when I was 5. He had a little pair of green pants and a little green shirt. My mom still has the pants. I'll get it unteared up here in a minute. But there's certain things in a Marine home you remember. Certain things I guess you get thought in your mind. Like one statue, and I'll let Jim pronounce the name, because if it was Bubba's Holler, I could get that out all right. But it's not Bubba's Holler, and surely Jim and his history already knows the picture I'm talking about. Iwo Jima. That's things that's I probably knew the picture of and what it was before I could talk. And I know y'all thinking I learned to talk pretty quickly. There's another thing that I take pride in because of my daddy. The only way I never served is this. Man sends him to battle. The man, although yeah, it's not war unless Congress, but he sends him to battle. Still up there. The man that cuts their jobs. The man that makes over 10 times, probably 20 times what a normal soldier makes. Who's protecting them? Y'all see them on TV. Who's beside them? Marines. And if this is not good, I'm going to blame it on Dave. He said it'd be all right. And I know some of y'all are going to get this, but if this works, I'm going to have to tell you this little thing. The worship part of chapel is done. All right. Now it makes it legal to play this, right? Chapel, the worship. Oh, yeah. It looks better at Echo Hills now. We got one more freebie. They have to say that anytime a lady speaks or anything's done, you know, out of the big, thick walls there, we have to say the worship part of chapel is over today. Hope it plays. I know I turned this up. Oh, no, I didn't. Well, oh yeah. That still ain't the one. Oh. Let me back up and see if I can find another one. Now that's a movie. Well, I wouldn't plan on playing it. But there's a certain song. That sure wasn't it. And I save y'all the ears hurting for it. But the Marine hymn. My dad could sing every word of it. And I can know the first couple lines. I won't say I can sing them because anybody sit around me, no, I can't. But when I hear the music, it's hard for me not to start singing. But what I didn't really realize, and here might come the tears flow in my eyes again, and I'm not running a Marine commercial this morning. I prayed for years that Tad wouldn't join the Marines. Normal daddy. I would be proud of him, honorable position. But it's hard for a dad to see his kid getting away of danger. But when my dad died, there's two words I've heard him say several times. Wasn't English. Wasn't even whole words. But I never fully understood his funeral. He's saying, even though he wasn't retired Marine, hadn't died in battle, he was still a Marine. And there's a saying that goes, once a Marine, always a Marine. But I seen two soldiers fold a flag up. One of the soldiers that, after the flag was folded, held it, kneeled down on one knee, and looked at my mom and passed her the flag. And the words of sermons on this morning is these two. And again, not even complete words. Semper Fi. He looked straight in my mother's eyes and said, Semper Fi. Anybody know what that means? Forever faithful. I believe the day before my dad died, if he got a call and said, hey, we need you to go to the Middle East, Ben's, that's where we stayed here recently. As old as he was, as bad as health as he was in, he'd have been on his way. Even if he knew that would be his last day with his family, I believe he'd still left for his country. Because he's always faithful. So, yeah, I think it was last week I finally got fed up enough that and again, he may see it just the opposite as I see it, but I thought, you know, he's doing right. He's not trying to kill anybody, not even trying at that point to stop traffic from going down the road. He's just taking a seat because of what he feels being done to him. But my thought was, yeah, you're sitting down on the people that's doing us wrong, but you're also sitting down on a lot of good people also. Y'all thought that way? I mean, he sat down on my dad. And as the old saying goes, well, the soldiers fight for them to have that right. You know, freedom of speech. No. My daddy didn't fight. My daddy didn't serve where you can burn a flag, sit down and national anthem. Right or wrong, that's not what he would tell you. That's not the freedom of speech you believe in. Because to his country, he was always faithful. So what does that have to do with Christianity this morning? I spent half the lesson, I guess, talking about Marines. The thought of being always faithful. So let's finally get to Scripture, since that's what it's all about anyway. Let's turn to Joshua 24. Now, I don't think you could talk about being faithful without this. And while you're turning, I will say this, and this is just my thought. You know, we do have a problem in the United States. We've lost faith in our government, along with other things. Our government forces to support things that we don't agree with as Christians. But at least We do have the rights. All right, Joshua 24, I'm going to read verses 14 and 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourself today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served which were beyond the river are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as far as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Faithful, right? You got to think of what all these people have seen in Egypt. You know, the Egyptians, we still find stuff here and there. Wealthy people. Well, his people in Egypt were slaves. And we look at Moses. You know, Moses had rather be a slave with his people than be a son of the called son of Pharaoh. Why? Because they serve someone that is Semper Fi, always faithful. And this is one that most people may not think of when they talk about faithfulness, but I love this. In Daniel chapter 3. Now Nebuchadnezzar built this image. Y'all know the story. And when music played, everybody had to bow down to the statue. But there were some that refused to bow. Start in verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and anger, gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up?" Just to give you a laugh, pause here. I had a cousin that thought it was Shadrach, Meshach, and a billy goat. They grew up saying, "Ain't that fun?" Now, if you are ready, at that moment you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, and bagpipe, and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made. Very well. But if you will not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands? See, that's the fact. The man was right there. The fact is, if a God cannot deliver you from what man has done, then the fact is, he's not a God, right? But this is what I like so good, and for so many years I have thought was some of the, what man has been recorded, some of the most powerful words. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter." What was they doing there? They was signing their death warrant, wasn't it? They already made them mad, now they're throwing salt in the wound. "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king." You notice they start out, "if it be so." In other words, if he wants to. Which means there's a possibility he didn't want to in our minds, right? If he wants to, he can. "But even if he does not," and this is what I love the best out of this story, "but even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." How many people stand for their God, their Semper Fi, like this? Things like same-sex marriage and all this other stuff that's going on, people start becoming numb to. Are we, and I'm just using that as one example, sin, are we at the point where we can say, even if God don't deliver us, and talking about on earth, I'm going to serve him? Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and his facial expression was altered toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Kind of like them Georgia fans yesterday afternoon. He answered by giving orders to heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. And of course, we know the rest of the story. It was so hot the soldiers that threw him in died. And then Nebuchadnezzar seen four instead of three. according to what versions you use, it's either the fourth likened to the Son of Man, Son of God, or the Son of the Gods, according to what version you use. But he knew it was somebody that wasn't human. In fact, he knew it was somebody that was a God that had power to stop his hand. And of course, when they come out, even their clothes wasn't singed. Faithfulness. Why were they able to do that? Because they served a God that was semper fi, always faithful. And let's now turn to Matthew 25. Matthew 25 I got 14 through 30 wrote down here, but we're just going to talk. It's a well-known parable of the talents. Man comes, he gives one man servant one talent, gives another two, gives another five, and we know the story. When he comes back, the guy that had the one buried it and hid it where he wouldn't lose it because he knew that he was a hard judge, and if he didn't have it, he was going to judge him for not having it. But then what happened? He forgot where he buried it. He must have the memory power that I have. He forgot. Then, you know, the others doubled what they had. The five had 10. So he takes the one and gives it to the 10. And I want to read a few verses here on the end. Maybe it would have been easier to read the whole thing. And the one who had received one talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reaped where I did not sow and gathered where I scattered no seed. He buried it, forgot about it. When the master came back, went and dug it up, and there was his dirty talent. And I love that translation there, that the money is not an actual talent. It's a piece of money, but it is a talent. It means a lot to the English, doesn't it? Then you ought to have pity on my money in the bank and on my arrival. I don't wear them. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. You know, if you couldn't do anything with it, at least give it to somebody that could. Therefore, take the talent from him and give the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has more shall be given, and he who has an abundance, but from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. And cast into the worthless slave into the outer darkness, in a place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Unfaithful. Anybody know what we call that place that he's talking about? Time out, the corner, slap on the wrist. I think we all know what it is. Go back up to verse 20. And the one who had received the five talents came up and brought five more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted five talents to me. See how I have gained five talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. What is that? He gets a pizza party, you know, class doing good. Maybe he gets to play a good board game. Maybe he gets a board game for a prize. We all know that to be heaven. Which one was faithful? The one who increased. See, as a Christian, we have the story of Christ, what he's done for us, because he is always faithful. It should be our instinct to share. And I want to read a few more verses about the truth. One that the only one that's ever walked the earth that can be said to be simplified, always faithful. Because at times we all fall, right? Let's go to John 14. John 14, 1 through 4. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. See, the always faithful Jesus. He could have stayed on earth. I don't know why he wanted to. It shuts my mind down to just think that he ever came to leave what he lived in to come down here for a while. But where he goes to prepare a place for all of us. Always faithful, even after death. All right, let's turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. This is the kicker here. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Always faithful. John 15. John 15, 12 through 17. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another. And we know he did this. He died for us. Only got a couple more, and I'll leave you alone. Let's turn to Luke 23. Luke 23. I want to read verse 34. Of course, all this is when he's on the cross. Verse 34. But when Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots, divided up his garments among themselves. Hanging on a cross, Jesus is still praying for us, hoping for us, always faithful. And even look in verse 43, and he said to them, this is the two thieves, but he said to him, truly I say to you, today you should be with me in paradise. Even on a cross, hanging, hardly being able to breathe, he finds time to stop and forgive someone that wants forgiveness in all his pain. And then his last words in verse 46. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And had saying this, he breathed his last. No greater gift can a man give than lay down his life for his brother. That he did. But he didn't stop there. He was resurrected, went into heaven, and he's waiting for us. And one day he'll come back. I want to turn to Psalms 103. Psalms Psalms 103, and I'll just read the first five verses. And I'll try not to sing, whatever you call what I do. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like an eagle. Simple five. No doubt. Always faithful. This has been on my heart lately because I was going back through and before work I was reading a few chapters of Matthew every day, and I want to turn to Matthew 12. And this is the last time I have y'all turn today. And one thing I did learn from going to Freed, and you know, don't hold it against them. Y'all see a few here that y'all know they're a good school. They can only work with what they get. But the one thing I learned most is to slow down in my reading. Because sometimes we miss some of the biggest meat just because we're reading fast. Matthew 12:15. But Jesus, aware of this, and not even just aware of whatever's going on here, withdrew from there, and many followed him, and he healed them all. How many did he heal? All. You know, we see times where he had to withdraw from the crowds because that's all their mind was set on, is being healed. But he healed all. Anybody ever done anything and done it with all they had? Finished everything? And plate of food, I've done that. Always faithful. You know, again, I think that they called my dad the night before he died. And even if he knew he was going to die that next afternoon, and they said, hey, we need you to go so-and-so. Your country needs you. He'd have went. Maybe no big deal. I mean, it's just a country. It's not God's nation. No. But he'd have went. So it angered me when I seen everybody start sitting down there in the national anthem. I mean, Marine House, Jim's experienced it when they played the national anthem of a football game. After it was over, what did he do? Made his little Marine grunt. I just wonder how much of that, and again, I know I'm talking to the choir here, and Lord knows I can't sing. That's proof that he has a sense of humor. How many times are we sitting down on God? Because any time that we miss an opportunity to spread his word, and maybe even less than that, any time we miss an opportunity to help someone, that's exactly what we're doing. Semper Fi, always faithful. If there's anything we can do for you this morning, maybe you're not put on Christ in baptism. Well, that can be done. Maybe you have another need. Whatever it may be, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.